Hello, this is Tom Fox, and welcome to episode 48 of the FCPA Compliance and Ethics Report. This episode, I would like to visit with you about the FCPA enforcement action that was announced last week. This was a very significant FCPA enforcement action involving multiple bribery schemes across multiple continents, involving multiple countries. It was a multi-million dollar settlement, $108 million total, and not quite cracking the top 10, coming in at number 11 on the all-time list. Nevertheless, very expensive settlement action for HP, obviously, and lots of interesting things going on in this settlement action. For me, one of the most interesting things was, frankly, I'm not quite sure what to make of this settlement action. So I'm going to walk through some of the highlights in this report and maybe talk through it and then see what we come up with at the end. The first is the how the investigation itself came about. HP did not self-report this matter. The matter was rather stunningly announced by the Wall Street Journal in an article back in April of 2010 by David Crawford. He announced that HP executives in its German subsidiary faced bribery probes, and apparently HP's German subsidiary had been under investigation by German tax authorities and then German criminal prosecution authorities since at least December of 2009. There had been arrests of at least one executive at HP's German subsidiary and arrest of two former employees. There had been a raid of the German subsidiary based in the the province of Bavaria, headquartered in Munich. Even in the face of these arrests and this raid, HP did not report, self-report or self-disclose anything to the Department of Justice. HP made no public comment about why they chose not to self-disclose. HP obviously knew about these raids, and it was reported in the Wall Street Journal article that HP had hired counsel to represent the German employees, and obviously HP was aware of these matters. Nevertheless, HP did not self-disclose. Interestingly, the day after the April 5th, 2010 article, on April 16th, the Department of Justice and Securities and Exchange Commission announced that they were investigating HP. The deal itself involved the sale of computer hardware to the Moscow prosecutor's office. The deal in question was a €45 million euro deal, of which a $10 million fee or commission, rather, was paid to a one-man agent. That agent then wire transferred the money through various bank accounts, and that money ended up going to offshore bank accounts and ended up going to the pocketbooks of various Russian governmental officials to be paid as bribes. The the money was traced in the settlement documents quite extensively and showed numerous shell corporations that it went through and how the money was used to facilitate the payment of briberies, the payment of bribes. So a very good tracing of the funds in the documents, settlement documents themselves. There were several settlement documents that were released last week, as reported by the FCPA professor on April 10th in a blog post entitled HP and Related Entities Resolve $108 Million FCPA Enforcement Action. These included a criminal information against HP's Russian subsidiary via a plea agreement, There was a criminal information against HP's Poland subsidiary resolved via a deferred prosecution agreement. And there was a non-prosecution agreement with HP's Mexican subsidiary. And there was a civil HP administrative action filed against HP. We have the criminal informations against the two Russian and Polish subsidiaries. We have the plea agreement and deferred prosecution agreement. We have the non-prosecution agreement. They're all file of record. We do not yet have the SEC administrative action file of record for review yet. So we've been able to take a look at these documents and see the bribery schemes that were at play. They were fairly stunning in their breadth and scope. The Russian bribery scheme really was something to behold. And a couple of things of note were that it was apparently a small yet dedicated cadre of people in Russia that were really pushing this deal. And they tried to do this deal through the United States initially. This folks in the United States really smelled a rat and looked at the shell corporations, asked some pretty direct questions of the shell corporation representatives, didn't get the answers they wanted, and squashed the deal. And then the Russian folks decided to just flip it over to the German subsidiary and ran the same scheme through them. Obviously, this begs the question, if one group of HP refused to look at a deal, or rather looked at a deal and didn't pass muster because of compliance concerns, how could they flip it to another subsidiary and get the deal? What are the state of internal controls at HP? Nevertheless, one of the things that was pointed out in the criminal information and plea agreement against the Russian subsidiary was the great lengths that the individuals involved went to hide the deal and really hide the true nature of the deal and hide the slush fund payments that were made. They talked about spreadsheets that were password locked. They talked about actual lying on internal HP documents, lying to the people in the German subsidiary that may have been responsible for these, checking some of the numbers and the documents. But it still begs the question of how robust HP's internal controls were moving forward to check the details of these documents. So real questions about HP's internal controls in these areas. The other thing the settlement documents make clear was that the, I guess the way HP was set up with regions, the European region was really beating on the Russian folks to get this deal done. And obviously, if you have management saying, get a deal done, get a deal done, get a deal done, the business guys are, that's the message they're going to get. Compliance come hell water, they're going to move forward to get a deal done. So it raises a serious question about what's the culture of compliance when you can move a deal from one region to another region simply so that you can avoid or evade internal controls. The Poland's deal represented a different level of bribery and corruption. And in the Polish deal, apparently you had the head of Poland, the Polish unit in HP, just with a stunning array of payments to Polish government officials. Trips to Las Vegas, payments for dinners, gifts, sightseeing. HP had no offices in Las Vegas, so trips to Las Vegas had no legitimate business purpose. You had really bags of, truly just bags of cash being given. gifts, cash, and entertainment valued at a stunning amount of $4.3 million. Contracts valued at $4.3 and $5.8 million for the bribes. You had a Polish official being paid an override on net contracts with HP. I think the figure of $600,000 in cash, gifts, and entertainment to Polish officials for these contracts. So, huge amounts of cash being paid to Polish officials for in the end contracts being worth upwards of $32 million. The real interesting thing here was, and I mentioned a bag of cash. Apparently, one bag of cash alone was paid worth $100 million. So, it really doesn't get much worse than that. The thing that perhaps separated HP from companies that had more serious problems was HP management was not aware of this, and there's really no allegations in any of the documents that there was participation, knowledge, or even conscious indifference by HP management. There clearly was a failure of internal controls in books and records, but nothing to suggest that HP management in the United States was a part of this going forward. So the Polish action is stunning in its amount that one person could really get away with all this. Nevertheless, it appeared that it's hard to believe that one person could do all this without drawing the attention of others or that with others helping. But the settlement documents really don't point to others being involved. And that brings us to Mexico. And there, HP had was trying to get a contract with Pemex. And to do so, it was a contract worth approximately $6 million. And they funneled a $125,000 bribe to a government official. And the really funny, or perhaps interesting thing, funny is not the right word, was HP had a contract with an agent, and the description of the services was, quote, influencer fee, end quote. And I'm not sure you could ever come up with a better description of what an agent who's going to pay a bribe would be. It's pretty amazing that they would actually write that down, but nevertheless, that was what the proposed contract of the agent was for. So, pretty clear evidence there of what the agent would do. Nevertheless, the stunning thing about Mexico was they were not criminally prosecuted. They got a non-prosecution agreement, although they had a forfeiture of $2.5 million. So, Mexico gets off with an NPA. So, with the Russia, they had four violations of the FCPA, and those included a books and records violation. Those included, excuse me, conspiracy to violate books and records provision of the FCPA. Violation of the FCPA anti-bribery provision, violation of the FCPA's internal controls provision, and violation of the FCPA books and records. With Poland, we had two violations. These included the violation of the books and records and violation of the internal controls provision. The really interesting thing was the fines and penalties that HP got. I mentioned the 108 million, and that was the total. But under the sentencing guidelines, the Polish subsidiary should have been looking at a fine of between 19 million to 38 million, and the fine was 15.4 million. The Russian subsidiary was looking at a fine of between 87 million to 178 million, and they got a fine of 58 million. So, two subsidiaries who engaged in substantive FCPA criminal conduct got fines and penalties below the suggested fine range. The question is, how do they do this? And what's the takeaway for you as a compliance practitioner? And here's where it's really difficult to understand how HP did this. And I say that it's difficult to understand because HP has really not been very public about what they've done during the pendency of the investigation. Certainly, I would not have expected them to talk about the investigation itself, but many companies will talk about the remediation process. And in Houston, for instance, Parker Drilling has been very open in conferences talking about the best practices compliance program they have put in place. And that's led many of us to understand how their remediation led to a best practices compliance program. So in the DPA, plea agreement, the sentencing range for the Russian subsidiary was reduced because of their extraordinary cooperation, and they've engaged in extensive remediation, including taking appropriate disciplinary action against culpable HP employees, enhancing their internal controls, committed to continuing enhancing their compliance program and internal controls. The misconduct was identified and largely undertaken by employees associated with HP Russia, which employed a small fraction of the company's overall workforce. Neither HP nor itself nor HP Russia had previously been the subject of criminal enforcement action. They agreed to cooperate with U.S. law enforcement. With regard to HP Poland, HP Poland cooperated with the Department of Justice's investigation. The ultimate parent of HP Poland, that is HP, the parent, the U.S. company, committed to maintain and continue enhancing its compliance program and internal controls. And they agreed to cooperate with the Department of Justice and other foreign law enforcement authorities on any ongoing investigations. So we have extraordinary cooperation, remediation, extensive remediation, of which we really don't know the extent of, and efforts to continue to have a enhancing their compliance program and internal controls going forward. We should note that HP is not required to have a monitor going forward, and that's certainly something that most companies want. So a lot of questions about how HP really got this. What is, I think, a big question a lot of companies are going to ask now is, what's the value to self-report? If you have conduct where you carry bags of cash, not across the border, this is not the BizJet situation, or you have a situation where people shop deals in two different subsidiaries across two different continents to find a place where you can engage in bribery and corruption, that indicates pretty much a failure of internal control somewhere. Nevertheless, and you don't self-report, what's the value of self-reporting? And if you can make such a stunning comeback that HP did, maybe the play is to really focus your time, effort on remediation. There's no, HP has released some figures. I don't have them right now on their total spend on their investigative cost and their remediation. I'm sure they'll be coming out in their 10K, which should be out later this month or perhaps in May. But it's going to be something that's probably debated quite a bit going forward. I think we're going to have to contrast that very closely with Avon, who did self-report. So we'll have to see what credit, if any, Avon gets for self-reporting. It may be that HP had some very good lawyers involved. They may have presented a very good program to the Department of Justice. They may have negotiated very well. As I said, HP itself may have put together an absolute best practices compliance program. That's not something that's really been put out in the public arena for discussion, evaluation, or comment. So really an unknown at this point. But certainly kudos to HP. I think they came out very, very well. Given the facts of this case, I'm surprised that the penalty is so low. Nevertheless, it is. And the department, in their press releases, obviously indicated their strenuous enforcement of the FCPA, and they believe this is a fair resolution based upon the facts not only of the bribery schemes, but of HP's conduct. So perhaps the message is remediate, 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 and the department will give you credit for that. It's just difficult to say from these settlement documents. So kudos to everyone involved. I still have a lot of questions questions of those involved, and I hope that information really comes out going forward. I hope HP will really get on the conference circuit and talk about what their remediation program is, because I think it would be a great benefit to the compliance community to know what they put in place and really how they were able to drive down the fines from what was recommended under the sentencing guidelines. But I would give them a big tip of the hat for what they've been able to do so far. There were several individuals involved. We don't know at this point if there'll be any individual enforcement actions, and we'll certainly have to wait and see what the Department of Justice may or may not do with those folks. So with that, that's the FCPA Compliance and Ethics Report for this episode. If you have any questions on this, I have these underlying settlement documents that I've referred to. If you'd like a copy, you can certainly contact me via email at tfox@tfoxlaw.com, or if you have any questions on this, I'd be happy to visit with you about them. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll tune in for the next episode of the FCPA Compliance and Ethics Report. This is Tom Fox. Thank you.